Let's remain standing for the reading of the gospel. Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Fear can be disabling. Some of you know that. I know it. I know it very well. It can even be crippling. When fear takes over, our minds shut down. The disciples had shut down, and they had gathered themselves behind locked doors. And who could blame them after what they had seen? I'm not talking about just the recent events, those particularly, but they had been with Jesus for 3 years, traveling near to the sea and then out into the communities, watching and learning, participating with him in engaging in people's lives, some of which were very destitute, some were troubling, and they had seen Jesus pushing into the edges of society to welcome those whom others would have simply ignored. 3 years they had spent with Jesus as he traversed the land, and on those occasions would go to Jerusalem, that great city where he stirred up the scribes and Pharisees. Goodness gracious. And even left them wanting to find a way in which they could put Jesus to death. But then they watched it all come down. They watched Jesus' arrest, even as they were fleeing the Garden of Gethsemane. They watched that arrest happen. And then, very quickly, the injustice that brought about Jesus' death on the cross. It wasn't hard to figure out their lives were at risk too. You would have made that deduction, right? You would have deduced that if you were a follower of Jesus, closely aligned with what he was talking about, that if Jesus was in trouble with the authorities, that you would be in trouble too. Peter's denial in the courtyard. You remember that, don't you? Before the cock crowed, he had denied Jesus three times. All of that was about fear. It wasn't some political ploy that Peter was working up in his mind that somehow this is going to give us the advantage if people just don't know who I am. It was sheer fear of being recognized and put into the camp of those that knew and followed Jesus. And then now, behind locked doors, they all sat there in fear. Every single one of them. Mary's announcement did little to calm their fear. Earlier in the day, she had come simply to tell them that his body had been stolen out of the tomb. And they did not, any of them, know where he was. Peter and another disciple raced to the tomb. Peter went in, looked around. They confirmed Jesus was not there. And so they left to go back to where the other disciples were. Mary, so moved by her emotion, stayed there. You know this story. So moved by her emotion, she was weeping outside the tomb when she saw two angels that asked her why she was weeping, and then a gardener who came up and asked the same question. And she knew not who it was until he spoke her name. And the connection was made. When Mary realized that she was speaking to the Lord, she raced back to the disciples and gave them the message. Who knows where Thomas was? He wasn't in the room. The rest of them were gathered tight behind that locked door, but Thomas was nowhere to be found. Where was he, in fact? Had he gone to the market to get food? I don't know. Had he gone to check on some other family member? Some situation that needed to be tended to? I don't know where he was. Now, let me ask you a question here. Could it be that he simply refused to go into hiding? That Thomas simply refused to give in to that fear that was welling up within the lives of the other disciples? That Thomas refused to be behind a locked door? We write him off so easily as doubting Thomas. What an injustice. Give him a break. He was a realist. He could see what was happening. And he wanted some proof that Christ was living. That seemed to be completely unavailable to him at the moment. It doesn't happen very often, but occasionally I'll see a car here in town with a license plate from Missouri. Now, that is a rare thing that happens. But I have seen it. And have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen what is on the Missouri license plate? The Show Me State. I love that. That is a cool motto. The Show Me State. Thomas was of that mindset in some ways. It wasn't all of who he was. We are so quickly to forget of how when Jesus was at a distance from Jerusalem with his disciples and word came to him that his friend Lazarus was sick unto death. Now that was back in Bethany, which was literally just a stone's throw from Jerusalem. It was as close a suburb as you would ever find to a large city. And they had sent a messenger to inform Jesus that Lazarus was sick unto death. And Jesus, in considering this, balanced it with where he was and what he was doing. By the time he set foot to go back, he knew that it was already too late. Of course, what is it that Jesus didn't know? I mean, come on. What is it that Jesus didn't know? When he got there to the situation, Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, were at the point of caving in for fear of what this meant in their lives and just the simple loss of such a beloved brother. Jesus sought to ease their pain. Nothing did that more than when he said, "Take me to that tomb." And he called Lazarus, and Lazarus came out of that. You remember that, don't you? Okay, let's put it on rewind for just a moment, okay? Put it on rewind for just a moment, because I want to back up to where Jesus was before he turned to go back toward Jerusalem, back toward Bethany. He knew that in doing that at this late point in his ministry, that he was more in danger than ever of losing his life as he approached that magnificent but very dangerous city. He knew what he was doing, and his disciples did too. But don't you forget what Thomas said. He said, "I too will go and die with him." Now that doesn't sound like doubting Thomas, does it? So you give him a break. If he was willing to go and to die with Jesus, don't you think he was pretty connected with our Lord? If we are here checking faith credentials, then remember that not one of the others greeted Jesus when he appeared mysterious with the words, "Welcome back, we've been expecting you." They all doubted, as Thomas did, every one of them, lest you and I think that we are immune from this problem. So, take the spotlight off Thomas and put it where it needs to be. The incredible thing here is that Jesus is relentless. Jesus is relentless in coming to us, seeking us out, to make sure that we have not missed the message. Do you remember that prayer that Jesus prayed at the Last Supper, a prayer for these disciples of his? Right there in their presence, he said, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one." You get this, don't you? Jesus is relentless in reaching out in order to take care of us, especially during our times of fear and anxiety. On this day of his resurrection, as he is coming to his disciples, he mysteriously appears behind these locked doors. And having visited them once, and Thomas not being there, you know what's going to happen. He returns again to make sure that Thomas isn't left out of this equation. For God so loved the world, we love to say it, for God so loved the world, but in this situation, it was very, very personal. For God so loved Thomas. For God so loved Thomas. And Thomas knew that. He knew it anyway, but he came to know it in an even greater way when Jesus stood before him and said, "Put your hands here. Put your hands here." And all Thomas could say was, "My Lord, my God." He knew, just as Jesus wanted him to know. I recently read a reflection by a man who had entered into a very difficult time of anguish, so much so that he was sitting bent over in fear when a dear soul in his congregation came and simply laid their hand on his back and let it rest there. Nothing said. Just let that hand lay there on his back. He said it was of the most profound significance. Love in the flesh makes all the difference, doesn't it? Have you known this before? When we are at our best, we really get this. A month ago, we were celebrating St. Patrick's Day, not in the way that Dublin or Savannah does it. I know. We were doing it in a Statesboro kind of way, though, right? Right. We were celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Did it occur to any of you, I'm just wondering here, did it occur to any of you that prayer that St. Patrick is so known for? That prayer where he says, "Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me." Church tradition tells us that Thomas did not stick around Jerusalem very long. I don't know how long those doors remained locked, but I can guarantee you this: Thomas was gone like lightning. Church tradition says that he went to share the good news of Christ. Initially, he went to that area between the Tigris and Euphrates River that is today known as Iraq. Shortly after having shared the message in that locale, he went on to Persia, which today is known as Iran. He set sail for India, and he won over many Brahmins by sharing the message of Jesus Christ, traveling across the entire country, from west all the way to the east, to that point where he was killed, thrust through by a spear himself in that community today that is called Chennai. I tell you, when Portuguese settlers showed up in the 1600s, they were shocked to discover there on the west of India a large, thriving Christian community at work and at play together in the presence of God. John chapter 20, verse 29 is frankly very, very important for us to process today. For while Jesus was speaking to Thomas, he laid his hand on our backs. You got that, didn't you, in the reading of the scripture? That while he was speaking to Thomas, our Lord reached out and laid his hand on our backs. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." There's not a soul in this room that has seen Jesus, not with these eyes. But Jesus has laid his hand on our backs. Has he not? Has he not? And so, what are your fears? Really, no one else knows this stuff. What are your fears? What are your anxieties? Where have you and I locked the doors? For I want to remind you, God is here. Love is in the flesh. God is here.